At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You have no idea how many people that's killing. I see people everywhere, all over the world. They're so demoralized. You know, they... Well, I shouldn't do anything, man, you know?
Divine, sovereign...
Individual.
Sovereign individual.
Don't be thinking your ambition is corrupt. You know, because that's part of the message now. Human beings, we're a cancer on the planet. We're headed for an environmental apocalypse. The entire historical structure is nothing but atrocity, et cetera, et cetera. Anyone with any ethical aim whatsoever is just going to pull back. You don't want to manifest any ambition, support the patriarchal structure, exploit the environment. You got to crush yourself down. You shouldn't even have any children. It's like, no. There's no excuse for that. There's zero excuse for that. I saw a professor at an event, something like this. He came out and trumpeted this bloody environmentally friendly house he built. And, you know, fair enough, man. It was a pretty interesting house, but not everybody had the $4 million that it took him to build it. And I'm not criticizing his money even. It's like, he's had some money, good for him. He built a house, okay. But then to trumpet that as a moral virtue, well, you're pushing it there. And then he came out to all the kids and he said, you know, my wife and I decided that we were only going to have one child. And I think that's one of the most ethical things we could have possibly done. And I would strongly encourage you to do the same. I thought, you son of a bitch. You get up in front of these young people. A lot of these kids were children of first generation immigrants from China. And he showed all these images, you know, of these terrible factories in China, these endless rows of sterile mechanism that were subordinating all the Chinese people to this terrible, you know, capitalist machine. And I thought, you don't understand. Half the audience is looking at those factories and thinking, that's a hell of a lot better than struggling through the mud under Mao, buddy. I don't know where he thought he was, but to come out in front of all those kids and basically tell them that the whole human enterprise is so goddamn corrupt that the best thing they could possibly do is limit their multiplication, and to think of himself as a scholar and an educator was just, I did say something, by the way, it was rather uncomfortable, and he stomped off the stage. You think, we're going to destroy the planet. We have to do this. We have to demoralize the youth to be ethical. It's like, yeah, really, that's your theory. You're going to demoralize young people to be ethical. That's your theory. It's like, you should go home and think about that for, like, a year. You're more powerful than you think. Way more powerful than you think. I mean, God only knows what you are in the final analysis. You're blind to your own weaknesses, but you're also blind to your own strengths. And so then I think, well, if you got your act together, it'd be better for you, and instantly it would be better for your family, assuming they wanted you to get your act together, and not everyone does, but... And then it would be better for the community. It's like, how far could you take that? If you stopped wasting time, and if you stopped lying, and if you oriented yourself to the highest possible good that you could conceive of, and you committed to that, how much good could you do? Well, I would say, why don't you find out? So that's what I think you should do. You should find out. You don't have anything better to do. And there's nothing in it, as far as I've been able to tell, there's nothing in it but good. So maybe you could sort yourself out so that you wanted nothing but the good. And then maybe you could help make that manifest in the world. And maybe we wouldn't have all these terrible problems then. At least we'd have fewer of them, and that would be a start. So it's the answer to the problem of humanity is the integrity of the individual. That's the answer. So, and states that are predicated on that realization are healthy. So, and states that aren't are doomed to stagnation and catastrophic collapse. And personalities that are predicated on self-tyranny and the tyranny of others are doomed to collapse. So, and then you think, well, what's the barrier? And the barrier is, are you willing to accept the responsibility? And part of the answer to that is, reduce.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. we do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Reduce the damn responsibility until it's tolerable. You don't have to fix everything at once. You could just start by fixing the things that you could fix. Or you could even do it more. You could do it with even less self-sacrifice. You could start by fixing only the things that you want to fix. God, you can get a massive way that way. So do it. See what happens. All you have to do is give up your resentment and your hatred. I know that's a hard thing to give up because you have plenty of reason for it. That's probably a good place to stop.
You trust when you're naive because you don't know you can get hurt. And that's not ethical. That's not moral. It's not laudable. It's just naivety. Once you know you can be hurt, you trust as a courageous decision, knowing that if you trust someone, you can bring out the best in them, and knowing that if you don't, you'll never see it. So it's a calculated risk, and it's an intelligent, calculated risk designed to move you and the other person to the best. So you can tell yourself that I'm going to take a risk. I might get hurt, but I'm going to take a risk, knowing it's a risk. It's a reasonable risk. Don't be a fool, but it's a reasonable risk. And remember that you have some reason to be afraid of intimacy and closeness, but you know, you should also see both of those as positives on your side. To be intimate with someone means that you can share your thoughts with them and think things through with them, and you can share your triumphs and your disappointments and all of that. You broaden out your life, you broaden out your ability to solve problems. You increase the probability, all things considered, that you're going to remain sane, because two people who are communicating are generally saner than one person who is only thinking by themselves.
It's painful to understand how much time you're wasting. Let's say, what's your time worth? And then you think, well, why would people be resistant to that message? It's like, well, you really want to wake up and figure out that you're wasting half your life? And you know, when people do that kind of wasting, they actually hate it. You know, and I've had lots of people come to my clinical practice who were chronic procrastinators. You know, and so they're watching YouTube videos, say, but not ones that are good for them, although sometimes they will do that, but just browsing in that kind of mindless way that you do when you're not paying attention and you're trying to kill time. And people doing that, they feel bad, they get depressed, they feel anxious, they can't get away from it, they feel kind of quasi-addicted. There's this feeling of kind of internal rot and corruption, yes, that goes along with it. It's like, yeah, well, you're wasting your life. It's like, so it's painful. It's painful to recognize that. Then it's painful to think, oh my God, look how undisciplined I am. I don't know anything. I can't use a schedule. I can't stick to a calendar. I don't have any aims. I don't know anything about the world. It's like, that's what makes you vicious and untrustworthy. All of that. No one wants to look at that. And no bloody wonder. Feeling of meaning is an instinct.
Right.
It's not a thought. It's not a secondary consequence of rational processes. It's way deeper than that. It's something that drives rationality itself. You have to find that thin edge where you're competent at what you're doing, but you're pushing yourself. That's going to be where meaning lies. That's what meaning tells people. It says you're on the edge where you're competent and out of undue danger, but pushing yourself enough so that you're continually developing. That's the instinct of meaning. And that looks to me like it's a consequence of the interaction between the right and the left hemispheres. That's the point of maximal challenge. And that makes you really alert because your positive emotion is functioning. That's what's driving you forward. This is worth doing. And your negative emotions are alert too, saying, yeah, but be awake and be careful. And that sense of meaning, that's what puts you on the border between chaos and order, right? Because too much order means you're just practicing what you already know. And then you stultify and stagnate. And too much chaos means you better look out because you're going to hurt yourself. You're pushing yourself beyond your limits. You stay right on that edge. That's where there's maximal meaning.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.